Cowabunga! Hello, everybody. I know it's been a long, long time, but welcome back to Retrocore. I am your host, Chris, or Sticky C, or DJ Sexy Lips, whatever you want to call me. Noticeably missing is Poison Peach, a.k.a. Jennifer. I'm not going to say anything, but hopefully she'll be back next time. This time it was my fault. I'm so sorry. I'm going to open the show up with apologizing to her. I'm so sorry, Jennifer. You stayed up late last night. You had to work today. And yeah, I wasn't home. I didn't show up. Just to kind of let you know, it's 5 in the morning right now. I set my alarm. I got home late. Set my alarm for 5 in the morning to record the show. That way, I'll have time to edit it today and post it to the other sites and such. So I'm very sorry, Jennifer, for keeping you up late on a work night. But yeah, the deal why there hasn't been a Retrocore in quite a while is just conflicting schedules between me and her. It's just been a hassle, you know. We're trying to work things out, but hopefully she will be back next time with the reviews of Sonic the Hedgehog 2 and Nightshade and other stuff. I need to turn my phone on vibrate, don't I? But yeah, it's just me today. I'm gonna bring a couple reviews. Finally, that A Boy and His Blob comparison I was supposed to do, 3 weeks ago? Yeah, I'm gonna do that now. Well, here on this show. Also, a long time I've been getting a request to review, Wizards and Warriors, from Sober. He's been wanting me to do that forever now. So I'll go ahead and do that too, so. So yeah, but first things first, we have been picked up by a new website. Yes, a new one called Unnamed Gaming. Both of our shows are featured on there, so give it a look, you guys. Looks like a very well put together website. The address is www.unnamedgaming.com. Very simple and easy to remember. Just go there. There's links at the top for both the shows, along with Broken Embargo Podcast, and all kinds of retro and new gaming news. So, once again, the website is www.unnamedgaming.com. You know, good stuff. We hope you guys like the new one of the new homes of Retrocore. So, you know, just trying to branch out, you know. Trying to get known, or more known, and all that good jazz. So, well, alright, it's time to kick off the show, I do believe, with some good old reviews. First up, again, like I said, Wizards and Warriors on the Nintendo. Now, I didn't know what Wizards and Warriors was. I did not play this game as a kid. I was introduced to this game by a friend, Sober. But not with this one, actually. I started with the second one, called Iron Sword. But, that's for another time. But I'm just saying, you know, I didn't play this game as a kid. This was probably a teenage kind of game I got introduced to. Yes, see, that's how cool we were. While we did play the current consoles that were out at the time, we always went back to Nintendo. You cannot go wrong with Nintendo games, I'm sorry. So, yeah. So the protagonist of the game, his name is Kuros. So I'm going to talk a little bit about him before I get into like gameplay and stuff. But the protagonist of the series, Kuros, is typically dressed in full plate mail and carries a sword or axe and a shield. It depends on what kind of weapon you find in the game, what he's carrying. An iron sword, the entire game was focused on acquiring pieces of a large two-handed sword called the Iron Sword. Iron Sword also allowed Kuros to change his appearances via helmets and weapons. Kuros had to defeat a manifestation of each of the four elements, which are fire, earth, wind, and water, to acquire the pieces, and then use the sword on Ice Fire Mountain to defeat the elementals again to thwart Malkil. Malkil is basically the evil wizard in all these games, if people don't know that. In Kiro's Visions of Power, which is the third Wisdom Warriors, Kiro starts multi-classing. See, they kind of try different stuff. And after passing certain trials, he can change into a thief or a wizard. Each of his three classes, Knight, Thief, and Wizard, have three modes, each of which with different capabilities. Using jewels to open the secret door. I'm very, very sorry, guys. Tongue-tied. Okay. All of which have three modes, each with different capabilities. Using all of these abilities, Kiro's had to rescue the imprisoned princesses, collect the royal jewels to open the secret door into the castle, and confront his archenemy Malkil, who was posing as the king. After Malkil's defeat in Kiro's Visions of Power, Malkil cast one final spell that sent Kiro hurtling forward in time. So basically, after the third one, there was no more. It just kind of ended, leaving poor old Kiro's rolling through the future. couple little side notes I took here is, Wizards and Warriors actually was made into a children's book back then, and Malkil, the evil wizard in the series, he was even on a spot on Captain N, the Dream Master. Now, if you don't know what Captain N is, you are not a retro gamer, probably. No, that's not true. But, because I didn't know what it was either, until recently. But Captain N was a old Nintendo series, with just randomized Nintendo characters in different worlds. And yeah, but there was one with Malkil in it. But it was kind of weird, they didn't refer to the world as Elrod, which is where this world takes place. They referred to it as Excalibur. So it was kind of odd. And yeah, and he also appeared in some other series. So, you know, the game had a little bit of extras, if you will, you know. Yeah, okay, now it's time to talk about the game. The gameplay is very crazy. I mean, the controls are very loose, is a way to put it, I guess you could say, because, I mean, he runs pretty quick. When he jumps, he has kind of like a glide ability. I mean, you can jump pretty high, and if you're running and you jump, you kind of do you get a good arc in your jump. This is your basic platformer, 2D platformer. You collect gems, you get keys to open treasure chests. You are always constantly bombarded by enemies. I mean, the screen is usually just full of enemies. There's hidden stuff everywhere in this game, be it gems, be it treasure chests, be it passageways. I mean, the game is great. It starts off, basically, you have a Ghosts and Goblins type map, if you will. And you just go to each different area, rescuing damsels in distress, if you will, or princesses. I mean, that's really all there is to it. I mean, here we go. The objective of most of the levels is to rescue all the damsels, or princesses, like I said, in distress. To get to the princess on each level, Kiro's must collect a certain number of gems, usually 100, sometimes a little bit more, in order to get past an invincible guard on the level. Once he has enough gems to bribe the guard, Kiro's faces the level's boss. After the boss is defeated, Kiro's frees the princess. So, basically, what you're going to do is collect gems to proceed. Now, this could be really easy, or this could be a pain in the ass. What I mean by that is, you know, you might not find all the keys to open the treasure chest, so you're going to have to do this the hard way, by constantly killing enemies, you know, to get enough gems. Or, like I said, there are hidden gem spots. The best way to describe that is, like, Mario coin blocks. What I mean by that is like, you know how there's those blocks of Mario that have like 10 coins? Well, this is kind of like that, but you don't see the block. You're just kind of jumping around, and you might find it, and the gem will pop out of nowhere, and you just keep jumping to that spot, and you get multiple gems. The easiest way to get gems, though, is finding keys to the treasure chest, because, oh, I'd say 70% of the treasure chests have gems in them, while the others have, like, a shield power-up or a sword power-up. Like, when you start the game, you just have a little dagger. And then you get the ability to have throwing knives in the first level if you find the treasure chest. What's some other power-ups? You get the Boots of Power, which, don't ask me what the hell they did with those, because I don't know what the hell they do, other than pressing the select button, he kicks. Why the hell they chose the select button to be used as an action button is beyond me. It's just a poor choice of button mapping right there. sorry, brain fart. But yeah, there's the lava boots, which is very, very useful on level 3, which is the lava world, because with the lava boots you can walk on lava and it will not hurt you one bit. Trust me, that is a lifesaver, as you will fall in the lava pit over and over and over and over and over again. And like I said about, there's just all kinds of different, you get, there's even spells you get in the game, like the levitation spell. And it's kind of weird how they did the spells in this game. Like, the levitation spell, I think, was used by pressing up and B, or up or A, one of the buttons. While, there was another spell, the invisible cloak or whatever, you press down in one of the buttons. So it was just kind of odd, the button mapping in this game. I mean, I understand this is the Nintendo controller. Hey, you're limited. You got start, select, A, B, and the D-pad. But come on, select could, like, switch between the spells and up and whatever button could have, you know, just been the magic. Like I said, it's just weird. Oh, another thing I wanted to point out, too, is how when you die, you kind of go into a convulsion and, like, fall down and twitch and just kind of die. So it was kind of hilarious. By defeating enemies and opening treasure chests throughout the levels, Kyros may pick up items to aid him in his quest. Kyros may find potions, food, which are healing items, extra weapons, and other tools. Although the game is considered to be quite challenging, which it is, the player is aided with unlimited continues, while the only penalty being that the score is reset to zero. So yeah, I mean, the game is hard and punishing, but at the same time, you don't have to worry, because, I mean, you'll finish it. Eventually, if you have the time, you know, you're sitting down, and you'll have the time to finish it. Because even your gems stay the same. You know how I was telling you earlier, you needed a set amount of gems to get to pass the guard and go fight the boss. Well, even if you die and then you have to continue, you get to keep the same amount of gems you already had. So, I mean, at the same time, it's easy. It's your basic trial and error Nintendo game, you know? You keep trying, you die, and it forgives you by giving you infinite continues. So, I guess that's not a bad thing, you know? Trial and error, it's the best way to play games. I would give this game, oh yeah, the music. The music's great in this game. It'll be playing in the background if you guys haven't caught on to that. If I have the soundtrack to the game I'm reviewing, I usually try to have it played in the background. So, I just wanted to throw that out there again. excuse me. Yeah, like I said, it's early in the morning, people. Bear with me. Just woke up not too long ago, picked up the mic and started, recording, so, I don't expect it to be too long, but I'm just trying, you know, it's been a while, I needed to do some retrocore, you know, it's kind of like crack, you need to get it done, you need it, I wanted to announce about Unnamed Gaming, which is a huge thing to me. I'm so glad I got picked up by them. We're still available on Vagary.tv, people. Just so you know. So, back to my review. Wow, I just completely went the other route. Not even finishing the review of Wizards and Warriors. But, I would give the game a 3.5 out of 5. That's a good score. That's about a C, you know. Good game, good platforming. You have to have good platforming skills, by the way. Because you'll be jumping around like crazy. You know, some of the levels you have to climb up. Some of them are easier because you have to fall down. And you can just fall. While falling from a high distance, well, if you fall, it does hurt a little bit. But, I mean, if you're smart, you can kind of jump on a platform every now and then as you're falling to avoid that from happening. But yeah, a 3.5 is a pretty good score, I think, and that's what it gets. So there you go, people. Wizards and Warriors. God. Someday we'll get to Iron Sword and the third one. There is one on the Game Boy, too. So, I don't know if we'll do that one. We have done Game Boy reviews in the past. So, I mean, really, why not? So, we'll just have to wait and see what the future holds for us. Email us, you know, if you want to hear that. So, okay, coming up next, I have the long-awaited Appoint as Blobs review. Blobs, you like that plural? Yeah, I'm going to talk about the Nintendo one a little bit, and then I will talk about the Wii one. So, I hope everyone liked Appoint as a Blob. I know it was kind of a cult following, but still, it was a great game. So before I get to that reviews, though, I want to do a little bit of plugs. Check out Sober. He has a new format for his podcast because he has two kids, people. And, you know, give him props for still doing it, attempting to do his podcast because, you know, I could imagine it's a bitch raising two kids. One's about 5 and the other's, you know, I don't know. It's under a year old. I don't want to say how much months because I'm not quite sure. But I'm sure, you know, it's hard to do a podcast. So what he does now is he records, you know, 10 to 20 minutes a night. You know, what he's been doing, playing, news, kind of stuff. At the end of the week, he compiles it all into one thing and there's his show. So, you know, while it's his format for now. I don't know if it's forever. But, you know, give him a listen at gamesociety.podomatic.com and send him emails at gamesocietyradio@hotmail.com. Also, check us out, RetroCore, at retrocore.podomatic.com. Also, the music show, which I might go ahead and say now, is not going to be recorded this week. I'm sorry, people. Schedule, bad times, timing, not going to be able to get to it this time. Sorry for people who's been looking forward to it, because I know it's like the show for people. It's always, you know, it gets people through work and all this and that. I'm sorry. But check out RetroCore Classic Gaming Music at retrocoreclassicgamingmusic.podomatic.com. You can find both RetroCore and the Classic Music Show at Vagary. You can check that out at thegamingseers.com/vagary. Also, check us out at Unnamed Gaming, www.unnamedgaming.com. That's two N's in there, people, if you don't know. UNNAMEDGAMING.com. Then just some fun websites when you're done listening to RetroCore and GameSciety and all the other good podcasts you listen to on these sites that I just mentioned. You can go check out such websites as ScrewAttack.com, who just redid their site completely. They are not on YouTube no more. So, as Destin said in Hard News, all you YouTube haters, get over it, because now we are our own. So, ScrewAttack is their own site. They even have it set up like YouTube, where you can upload your own videos to them. I'm pretty sure it has to be video game related, though, but you can upload your videos, and they, you know, pick people of the week and feature them on their little page there, and good times. Also, check out thatguywiththeglasses.com and retrowaretv.com. All three great sites to get some gaming, you know, reviews to listen to and pass the time. But I do want to point out, most of it is video. While each site does have their own podcast, most of it is video. So, just throwing that out there, people. Also, email us at retrocore@hotmail.com. Be it, you know, hey, review this game, or hey, you guys suck. You're not going to hurt my feelings, okay? Because I know some episodes are great, while others suck. And this one's probably going to lean towards the suckage. But, you know, I'm trying my best. I'm kind of a little unprepared, I'm not going to lie. And it is early in the morning, but I'm getting through it. I'm chugging along. So, I guess that's it for plug time. So, let's get into A Boy and His Blob, the Nintendo version. I guess I could say the full name, David Crane's A Boy and His Blob, Trouble in Blobalonia. That is the full name of the Nintendo game. Okay? It was made back in 1989, again, by David Crane. If you don't know who David Crane is, he was the creator of Pitfall. So, yeah. Well-respected man. Did a lot for gaming. And added this to his resume. Now, before I get into my notes and all this stuff I have, I want to talk a little bit about how I know about this game. I did not own this game as a kid. This is one of those games that, for some odd reason, even though I really couldn't figure it out that well as a kid, I always seemed to rent it. If there was nothing else out, I'd always fall back and rent this game. It was like this game had a charm or something over me. It possessed me. It's like, hey, rent me. Look at me. You can do it. You can do it this time. It was just weird. It had this trance over me, I guess. I always felt compelled to try it again. I have not beaten it. Not even to this day, I haven't beaten it. While I'm pretty sure I probably could now, I just haven't really got much time to review much games here. But that will change here in the next, starting probably this week. I should have time to review games better. You know, But yeah, A Boy and His Blob, Trouble in Blobalonia, is a side-scrolling platformer in which the character and his friend Blob, if you want to be so formal, his full name is Blobbert, travel together on Earth and on Blobbert's home planet, Blobalonia, in a quest to defeat the evil Emperor. Yeah, basically the Emperor takes over your throne in Blobalonia, and the Blob comes down and gets help from the little boy. Blobbert can change into many different forms when he is fed jelly beans. Yes, I said jelly beans. A licorice jelly bean, for instance, will change Blobbert into a ladder, while a honey jelly bean will transform him into a hummingbird. Most of these transformations can be remembered pretty easily due to a correlation between the flavor of the jelly bean and the item that results. Whistling at Blobbert causes him to change back. And I just so happen to have a chart of jelly beans to kind of give you a, you know, what for and how this works. How they sound alike, kind of, and what, that's how that works. Like, licorice, ladder. The strawberry bridge, I don't get that one. Coconut, he turns into a coconut. Why he turns into a coconut, well, I guess, okay, ladder's self-explanatory. Bridge is self-explanatory. Coconut turns into a coconut, you can roll him, right? He'll roll down the street, and the camera follows the rolling coconut, basically to look to use a head. Cola, jelly bean, turns him into a bubble and go into water. Cinnamon is a blowtorch, which burns webs. Apple, jack, which moves objects above Blob. Lime jelly bean turns you into a key, which unlocks doors. Vanilla, umbrella, see how they kind of sound alike. Basically, umbrella blocks falling objects, and you can fall slowly. Tangerine, trampoline, jump up on great heights. Root beer, rocket, move between worlds, Earth and Blobalonia. Honey turns you into a hummingbird, and lets Blob fly up to you. So yeah, I guess it's not completely useless, but at the same time, it's like, yeah. Ketchup, nothing, doesn't do anything. Blob appears where thrown. So like, let's say you lose Blob, you trying to call him and it's taking him forever. Just throw down a ketchup jelly bean, he'll appear. Punch makes a hole in the ground which you can fall through. And orange is a vital blaster which shoots vitamins. There's some other items in the game, like a jelly bean bag, which, duh, it holds all of your jelly beans. Treasure buys items at health food stores, and vitamins shoot from the Vita Blaster. So, yeah, while there isn't that much enemies in the game, you really don't run across enemies until Blobalonia. But, you know, you don't really kill them unless you got the Vita Blaster. Although the way you get by them is, you know, like, using Blobber's different forms to, like, make the enemies fall through the ground, or climb up above them if there's a ledge. Use the umbrella to, you know, you just try to get by them mostly. Unless you got vitamins for the Vital Blaster. So, yeah. That's your list of jelly beans in the Nintendo version. I don't have a list for the Wii version, but it's basically the same. So, but I'll get to that here in a little bit. This is just a little bit of information I found digging around the internet about, because, I mean, this is, I basically told you the gameplay, people. You use jelly beans to figure out puzzles, to get to different areas. I mean, there isn't much I can really dive deep into. So I, you know, went around the internet and I found some extra kind of cool stuff that I thought was kind of cool. So the game was named Best of Show. In 1989, at the Consumer Electronics Show, the advocacy group Parents' Choice Foundation awarded it with the Parents' Choice Award in 1990. Now, how much video games do you know that has won a Parents' Choice Award? Yeah, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? This is about some sequels that, you know, they tried to do. A Game Boy Advance incarnation of the series titled A Boy and His Blob, Jelly's Cosmic Adventure was announced by Majesco and was to be released in 2002. However, it was canceled. Majesco announced another sequel for the Nintendo DS in 2005 to be published by Skyworks Technologies. Using 3D graphics, the game, which takes place 6 years after the first title, was originally scheduled for release on November 11, 2005. Although it was rumored to be completed, Majesco's financial troubles have delayed the game's release indefinitely. In August 2007, the Nintendo DS version of the title was canceled, and the new game was set to feature 15 differently colored jelly beans and 15 levels. The touchscreen feature of the DS would have featured a map and help manage jelly bean inventory. So, me and Silver were talking about this. Because when the DS first came out, I remember A Boy and His Blob game was being made and announced. There were screens even everywhere. I mean, websites followed this game. And it just kind of disappeared. The odd thing about the game is that the Blob was green in it. The Blob isn't green in these games. He's white. But in the DS version that they were making, he was going to be green. So it was a little awkward and weird for retro gamers that were used to this. The Nintendo version, I mean, it's still hard. The reason it's hard is, yeah, I didn't realize it as a kid, but some of the jelly beans kind of sound what, you know, they'll turn into. I didn't pick that up as a kid. The best way to do this is to write down, because you're limited on your jelly beans in this version, in the original. You have a set number. I mean, of course, you can get more, find more, buy more. But for the most part, you have a set number. So you're going to want to write down and remember what each one does. This is some tips for you. So you don't waste all your jelly beans trying to figure out, well, this one's this one. This one's this one. When you're just trying to, you know, make a hole in the ground to get by. So that is where the Wii one fixes everything. But we're getting there. While at the same time, it makes it easier, the Wii version, which isn't a bad thing. As long as it's still enjoyable and, you know, all that good stuff, why complain? I'm going to give the original board his blob. It's hard for me, because I have such a mixed bag for me. A mixed bag of jelly beans, if you will. Ooh, listen to me, I'm being silly. I'll give it a 3. Solid 3. It's like a C-. Graphics for its time were good. Although Japan didn't think so. When it got ported to Japan, they changed the sprites a little bit. They made the character more anime-ish. And I think that's about all they did. But yeah, they made it more anime-ish for their culture. You know, they like the anime. And yeah, 3. Solid 3 for me. So now it's time to get into the Wii. Basically, the story is almost the same. The planet Blobalonia is threatened by an evil emperor and a blob. His name's not Blobbert this time. Blob. He flees to Earth seeking help, finding a little boy. Just a boy. He's just a boy. He and the blob team up in order to dethrone the evil emperor. The game's director, Sean Valesco, remarked that the game's simplicity allowed them to create a very heartwarming and friendly game, and to really highlight a major component of the game, which is the friendship between the boy and the blob. Mark Gomez, the game's art director, explained that everything is about subtlety. I don't know. There will be hints here and there letting you in on what is taking place. So, basically, a boy and his blob on the Wii. It's the same name. It's a remake of the original, or a reimagining, if you will. You can take it as either way, or even as far as a kind of sequel. It's all up to you, really. I mean, it does feel like a new game, but at the same time, it doesn't. So it's kind of weird. A boy and his blob is a 2D puzzle platformer. The protagonist feeds his blob jelly beans in order to transform him into one of 15 different objects that can be used to solve puzzles and defeat enemies. I'm sorry, got something in my chest. But this one actually has a lot more enemies in this game. They're like little black blobish kind of things, you know, that you can tell they're made out of the blob material. But they take different forms and stuff. There's like floaty balloon blob enemies, there's little tiny walking blobs, most of which can be passed by just making a hole in the floor and it falls through. If you're up on a higher platform, you can turn a blob into a rock and drop the rock on him, all that kind of stuff. If you, the boy, touch the blob, it's instant death. Not your blob, the enemy blobs. I should point that out. The game has preset stages surrounding a central hub. Now, what I mean by that is, think of it like Mario 3, like a map, with, you know, 10 stages on each map. Once all the 10 stages are beaten, you do a boss battle, which they are a little tricky. I will not lie to you. They are tricky. Usually they have 3 different kind of forms, and you have to do something different each time. And remind you, you can't get hit or you're dead. Just one hit. The game consists of 80 stages. 40 concludes the current hub with 40 standard levels and 40 hidden challenge levels. Challenge levels unlocked by collecting 3 chests hidden within a standard level. Yeah, each level has 3 treasure chests that, I mean, you don't have to find, but it'll make your game time longer if you do. Because not only you're looking for something that's going to make it longer, but when you get back to your little tree house or wherever there's a tree house, the first hub. Human house, the second hub. The third world is Blobalonia, and the fourth, I don't know. Yeah, I failed to complete the game still, I know. I'm sorry. But wherever you're staying at, you'll take the treasure chest back, Blob regurgitates them up, and it either unlocks a bonus level or, let's see here. I lost my spot. I'm sorry, guys. The 40 standard levels consist of an average of 10 hours of gameplay. The protagonist has access to an unlimited amount of jelly beans. However, the type of availability is preset at the beginning of each level. Completing challenge levels unlocks bonus developer material such as concept art and storyboards. So not only does that unlock levels, the treasure chest, but after you beat the challenge level, it gives you bonus concept art and all that kind of stuff if you're into it. In which I did find this, I'm not into concept art and all that kind of stuff, but this was kind of it was interesting, you know, to see how they created these worlds, because as I forgot to mention, the Wii version is all hand-drawn art, and it is a very, very beautiful game. Very beautiful game. I cannot stress that enough. The amount of effort, the draw that they put this game. It's just, I'm sorry. Like I said, I still have the allergy thing going on, people. I'm so sorry. But yeah, in terms of faithfulness to the original Nintendo title, producer Rob Alvey explained, "It's about the original spirit of the game and creating something for this generation of gamers. If you're familiar with the original game, you'll recognize immediately the homage we pay to the original. And if you've never played the original, it's not going to feel like anything retro." Sean Valesco simply expressed that the game is a reimagining of the original title instead of a direct sequel and remake. Now, in the game, for some reason or other, which I can explain it here in a minute, pressing up on the D-pad makes you hug the blob. Yes, you hug the blob. The hug button is a vestigial feature of a more fleshed-out emotion system abandoned during development. Managing the blob's emotions and keeping him happy throughout the game proved too much of a hassle during testing, so the mechanics were largely thrown out. However, Sean Valesco felt the in-game hug was too heart-melting to ignore, so it was kept. Yeah. Yeah, basically you get to hug the blob for no reason. There was a reason behind it, but they decided to drop it. Let's see. Where do I want to start here? What I didn't like about the game is, I mean, sure, it made it more enjoyable and easier, but at the same time, I don't know. Being it was a Nintendo game, I was like, this is going to be a little hard. But it wasn't. It was pretty easy. The thing that makes it easy, like I said earlier, is the jelly beans are preset per stage, so, and you got infinite amount of them. They show you what it transforms into before you even throw it. You have, like, you hold down the Z button, I want to say. It's been a while. And a little ring wheel, a la Secret of Mana, kind of, comes up. And you get to move around the jelly beans. And it'll, in the middle of it, will show you what it turns into. For the most part, everything's here from the original, minus, we don't have the blowtorch, we don't have the key, hummingbird's gone, the vital blaster's gone, and that's, I think everything else is there. There's a couple new ones, like a parachute that lets you float down, which I guess replaced, the umbrella, kind of. So, I mean, some of the things that annoyed me with the game was the kid's voice. It was a little kid's voice, because yes, it is a little boy, but whenever you want to get your blob to you, you have to call him. You have to call him at least 3 times for him to turn into a balloon and float to you. They replaced, you know, you don't have to feed him nothing. Like in the old one, you fed him a jelly bean and he turned into a hummingbird and came to you. Or ketchup, he just appeared next to you. But this one, you just holler at him 3 times and he'll come to you. Now, while this doesn't sound like a bad thing, you do this quite often. And you're constantly hearing, Blob! Blob! Hey! Come on! Blob! Blob! Hey! Come here! You just hear that over and over again, and it gets really old. The music is okay in the game. It's passable at best. But they do a remake of the original theme, which in the old game was the only song that played from the beginning to the end. They did do a remake of that, and it was really awesome. I really like that. The second hub, or world, paid homage to the original game. Like, basically the first hub is a tutorial. And you're like, man, this isn't how the first one, or the original, starts off. But when you get to the second world, it's how the original starts off. You're leaving your house, and yeah, it's just how the original started off. It's great. For those of you who, because I know this game isn't popular by any means, it's a cult following kind of game. If you are one who liked A Boy Named Blob as a kid, or had a slight interest in it like me, and kept picking it up for some reason and you don't know why, I would highly recommend this game because it's forgiving. It makes you feel like you're accomplishing stuff because it's pretty easy. But at the same time, once you get to like World 3, it gets to be challenging. I wouldn't recommend this game to kids. Even though it looks like a kid's game, it's just going to frustrate your little kids. And yeah, that's basically, I know I'm missing stuff so much. I'm going to kick myself later when I hit stop on this recording. But basically, that's about it, people. Like I said, I know these aren't the greatest reviews. It's early, really early in the morning for me. I'm just kind of wanting to get the show out there. Let you know that we are still here, even though it's been funny for us this last month. And I don't know about Jennifer's return or not, what's going on, because she did say she might have to take a break until after the holidays, which is fully understandable. You know, she might be going out of town or whatever. I understand completely. A Boy and His Blob Wii version, I forgot to give a score to. I'll give that a 4 out of 5. Very deserving. Very good game. Go play it. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I need to squeeze in here before I go. I don't think there is. I know there will be a later as I'm editing the show, and I might, you know, fix that. But thank you guys for your time. Thank you, Unnamed Gaming, for picking us up. And I am your host, Chris Sticky C, or if you listen to the music show, I am that voice, DJ Sexy Lips. Thank you guys. I had a good outro to leave the show with, and now I forgot it. Oh yeah, here we go. Alright people, I have been your host, Chris, and I want to remind you all to wrap it before you tap it.